I'm going to read to you the 6 days of creation. Settle in, we're going to read the whole first chapter of Genesis. When God began to create the heavens and the earth was complete chaos, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. And then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be a dome in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." So God made the dome and separated the waters that were under the dome from the waters that were above the dome. And it was so. God called the dome sky, and there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the sky be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth put forth vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees of every kind on earth that bear fruit with the seed in it." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed of every kind, and trees of every kind bearing fruit with the seed in it. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the dome of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be lights in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth." And it was so. God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. God set them in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters bring forth swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the dome of the sky." So God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves of every kind, with which the waters swarm, and every winged bird of every kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things and wild animals of the earth of every kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals of the earth of every kind, and the cattle of every kind, and everything that creeps upon the ground of every kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make humans in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created humans in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." God said, "See, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of all of the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Recreation. I put it as recreation one time, and I thought that could be it too. recreation. I want to say Happy New Year, Epiphany, and Baptism of the Lord Sunday. 3-hour-long sermons settle in. Not really. We heard how God spent some formative days in the beginning. Thank you, Steve. We hear that God created the heaven and earth by God's own agency, created the earth as a formless void until the wind from God began to move. God called light into being and separated it from darkness so that there was an evening and a morning. We heard that, didn't we? That's how God created the world in the first week. In the beginning of 2024, at the start of the calendar year, we begin anew. How have you spent your first 6 days of the next segment of God's created time? How'd you do? What did you begin creating with God? This season is rich with learning and celebration, teaching and praying. Today, January 7th, we celebrate God's creation and the arrival of the wise ones and what else? The baptism of the Lord. We celebrate new beginnings and acknowledge that God is always at work, creating and calling forth blessings. When the Advent candles of hope, peace, joy, and love were lit, and then we lit the Christ candle, how did these prophetic Sundays affect your daily living? I'm always hopeful that the new year will begin with a sense and experience of God's restoration through Jesus and the Holy Spirit. I know I always need a bit of repair, reorganization, and recreation. Recreation. So recently I've been working on a new word. I learned this word. It's Japanese. Any of you speak Japanese? If you do, please forgive me. Kintsukuroi. If you know what that means, wait till I explain it and you can tell me later how I did. Kintsukuroi. Is that familiar? Oh, there it is. What is that? The Japanese word means golden repair. Japanese artists often do this when a precious piece of pottery has been broken. After mixing lacquer resin with powdered gold, they use that resin to put the broken pieces together. What they end up with is a pot with cracks in it, but the cracks are filled up with gold. I didn't have any gold. I did have a broken pot, and so you might see that I tried to dress it up a little. But my heart was in the right place. Such restoration creates a gorgeous piece of art and makes a philosophical statement as well. Kintsukuroi asserts that breakage and repair are part of the unique history of the object, rather than something to deny or disguise. They call it Kintsukuroi, not so easy to pronounce, but this golden repair could mean a beautiful continuation of God's creation into the new year. Can golden repair mean recreation? Could we call God's restoration in our lives Kintsukuroi? Like pottery, we're fragile. We each have experienced breakage, and repair as ongoing aspects of the unique history of our lives. Life breaks us. in a variety of painful ways. And unfortunately, we often hide or deny the breaks, the pain of our history. We would rather disguise our cracks than undergo any healing or exposure. Friends, we need golden repair in our daily lives and our spiritual lives. Wait, aren't those the same thing? Daily lives and spiritual lives? While the Genesis reading speaks of creation, we wonder about our world, humanity, the destruction around us and right next to us, and how do we live our faith? How do we recreate these times? We learn from Acts 19, verses 1 through 2, that tells us when the Apostle Paul travels to Ephesus in Asia Minor, which is modern-day Turkey, he finds 12 disciples there and asks them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers?" They reply, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." These disciples were broken. They clearly had some cracks in their lives and faith, and not only had they not received the Holy Spirit, but they also didn't even know the Holy Spirit existed. Have you heard about the Holy Spirit? Do you know the Holy Spirit exists? How do you know that? Lynn makes me want to have a sign that says, "Holy Spirit, this way." I should have thought of that earlier, Lynn. When Paul asks, "Into what then were you baptized?" they answered, "John's baptism." And then Paul can see that they need some golden repair. In verse 4, we read that Paul explains John baptized with a baptism of repentance and was telling people to believe in the one who was coming after him. That is, believe in Jesus. In Acts 19, which we just were reading, now we're in verses 5 and 6. On hearing this, the disciples were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit entered them. Immediately, they began to speak in tongues and prophesy like the first Christians on the day of Pentecost. Suddenly, the gaps in the lives of these disciples were filled and were made whole as disciples of Jesus. Did they believe they were whole? Remember your baptism or what you've learned about your baptism? Do you believe you are whole? What a blessing to know that God fills their cracks with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Ours too, making them stronger and more beautiful in their broken places. The gift of the Holy Spirit, that's pure gold. Now, through the seasons of Advent and Christmas, we opened ourselves to the good news of Jesus' birth. Remember when the readings were about the shepherds and the angels and the wise men? We followed the star in Scripture and in song, and today, we opened ourselves to the power of Jesus' baptism. We can read about it in several of the Gospels, and now I offer this to you from Matthew 3. Now, about the baptism of Jesus. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented, and when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw God's Spirit descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from the heavens said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Do you feel healed from your baptism? Do you feel filled? Have you seen the need for golden repair in our world? Our neighbors, our families, ourselves, as God recreates? Everyone has gaps and breaks in their lives. Everyone has been shattered by some destructive experience. The breaks happen again and again. What are we waiting for? What are we hoping for? Are we listening for or seeking the new creation within us and around us? Kintsukuroi, mended Japanese ceramics, may inspire us to show compassionate sensitivity to the broken people around us and to ourselves as well. The Apostle Paul knew the significance of brokenness in the life of faith. He complained of a thorn in the flesh, quote, a messenger of Satan sent to torment me, to keep me from being too elated. That was in 2 Corinthians 12. We don't know the exact nature of Paul's thorn. Was it disabilities? Was it some kind of temptation or even a person who did him harm? Whatever it was, Paul's thorn caused him a lot of pain and made him feel broken. He said, three times I appealed to the Lord about this, that it would leave me. Paul wrote this to the Corinthians. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. That's hard to believe sometimes, isn't it? Jesus did not remove Paul's thorn, but promised to fill his broken places with grace. That grace is nothing less than the gift of Christ's own self and is the most powerful kind of golden repair. Paul says, so I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so the power of Christ may dwell in me. He knows that Christ can come into him only if there is an opening. He concludes, therefore, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities for the sake of Christ. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong. So I'm thinking about Kintsukuroi, almost got it out, Christianity. Whenever we are weak, then we can be strong. Whenever we invite Christ to fill our breaks and cracks, then he works powerfully through each of us alone and all of us. Being a Christian doesn't mean that we roll over and allow ourselves to be pummeled by insults and persecutions. It does mean that we allow Christ to enter our places of weakness, pain, need, and to strengthen us. When a terrible tragedy broke us, who stepped in to fill with love and strength? Most of those people have cracks filled with gold and grace. Those people being the parents of an autistic child who gives invaluable guidance to others in the same situation. The AA sponsor who patiently helps a fellow alcoholic remain sober. The survivor of abuse who provides a lifeline to those who are being abused. The wife of an Alzheimer's patient who offers support to families dealing with various types of dementia. We Christians are encouraged to listen to the pain of others and to participate in gatherings in which people reach out together for healing. It just came to me that this is one of those places. Isn't it? Haven't we experienced that pain and then the healing that comes here? We know the treasure of Jesus Christ is found in fragile clay jars, so that, in the words of the Apostle Paul, it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. 2 Corinthians 4. Extraordinary power belongs only to God and is delivered when people open the cracks in their lives to the extraordinary spiritual power of Jesus Christ. That power enters us when we discover that something is missing and we ask for help, like Paul, who ministered to the 12 disciples. When they and we agreed to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, our cracks were filled with the spiritual power, golden repair. Even if we were babies, we were in with Jesus. We were in that special spiritual power. We don't even know the healing that went on. So I was thinking this morning, how do I really want to finish this up? And I was reading some of my favorite scriptures and my favorite pastors online. I don't know if you've ever met her, but Nadia Bolz-Weber is one of my favorites. She has a podcast, and she also has a webpage called Corners. She's an American author, a Lutheran minister, and a public theologian. And this morning she said to me, and so I'm going to share it with you. As far as we know, Jesus hadn't even done anything yet, and at his baptism, he was called Beloved, the one in whom the Father was well pleased. Do you remember that text? That's God for you, she says, and I mean that literally. That is God for you. Because in your own baptism, God proclaims that in you, his beloved children, God is also well pleased. I invite you to open yourselves up to receive that. God is claiming you. He proclaims that he is well pleased with you. Your baptism is not a matter of circumstance, was not an act of faith that you or someone else was giving to God. Your baptism was most certainly an act of God upon you. She says, God created you. God loves you. And then she said the line that got me so just humbled and grateful. So I'm going to say it to you. I'm going to say, God created you, all of you. God created you. God loves you. In fact, God is crazy about you. Do you feel that? You're so serious. God is crazy about you, every one of you. And to that we may say, hallelujah, hallelujah, amen.